Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the second book of Maccabees. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. One of the brothers, speaking for the others, said, "What do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." At the point of death, he said, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the king of the world will raise us up to live again forever. It is for his laws that we are dying." After him, the third suffered their cruel sport. He put out his tongue at once when told to do so, and bravely held out his hand as he spoke these noble words, "It was from heaven that I received these. For the sake of his laws, I disdain them. From him I hope to receive them again." Even the king and his attendants marveled at the young man's courage, because he regarded his sufferings as nothing. After he had died, they tortured and maltreated the fourth brother in the same way. When he was near death, he said, "It is my choice to die at the hands of men, with the hope God gives of being raised up by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full.
Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full.
Hear, O Lord, a just suit. Attend to my outcry. Hearken to my prayer from lips without deceit.
Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full.
My steps have been steadfast in your paths. My feet have not faltered. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my word.
Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full.
Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. But I, in justice, shall behold your face. On waking, I shall be content in your presence.
Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us, so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified, as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord that what we instruct you, you are doing, and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, 'If someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take this wife and raise up the descendants for his brother.' Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like the angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to your Sunday Reader. We thank you for joining us this week. Today you're here with Brian and with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And Dawn, we've missed you. You haven't been on the podcast for 2 weeks.
I know. I heard the little shout-out last week. Thank you very much.
We were saying you hadn't been on. I think that's the longest you've not been on.
I know. I had to make this week's.
Well, since you made it back to us, did you come back to us with any thoughts on these readings that we just heard?
Well, just a few, because these are sort of difficult readings. This week we move into the section in Luke's Gospel that talks about the age to come. Next Sunday we're going to hear even more about the end times, and then the Sunday after that we'll celebrate Christ the King. So we know that we're at the end of the church year, or drawing close to the church year, when we hear these readings. And they can be confusing to us. Well, to me, I don't want to speak for everyone. But just a little bit of
confusing to everyone.
but a little background about the gospel reading in particular. The Sadducees come up to Jesus and ask him a question about if someone's brother dies and you have a wife that's left without any children. And so I thought it'd be good to have a little bit of understanding about that. Actually, in the belief in an afterlife came about late in the Old Testament reading, and even in the time that Jesus was alive, the belief was not universal. And so the Sadducees they sort of reject this notion that there's life after death. The only thing for them that survives after death is a person's name.
Yep, and that's why why they call them the Sadducees, because they're so sad, you see. Okay, so
Brian,
I had to throw that bad joke in there.
It's two-thirds of a pun, people. So the only thing that survives when someone dies is their name. It's their one shot at immortality. And so their one shot at immortality is if you have a son that's going to carry on your lineage. And it's talked about, if you look in Deuteronomy, it talks about if a man dies without a son, the deceased man's brother was required to marry the widow, and the firstborn son of that union was considered the dead man's son, who bore his name and inherited his property. So that's why the whole thing came about. So Brian, you're going to explain to us how Jesus answers this.
Well, yeah, one of the things that, you know, strikes you from these readings the minute that you see it is this whole notion where Jesus says that there's no marriage in the after. He said people in this age marry and remarry, but in the coming age there will be no marriage. And so a lot of times people have confusion about that. It sounds kind of sad in many respects when you say, gee, I'm not going to have, you know, these relationships with all these people. I'm not going to be married to anybody, you know, once I'm on the other side of the eschaton, or the end times, if you will. And what's being said here is it kind of gives you a little bit of a vision of what the end times are. A lot of times we think of heaven and we use a lot of our own human language and our own human understanding and kind of apply that to heaven, when really it's a bit of a misnomer, because when we would be in heaven, we would be in a perfect relationship with God, and that relationship would be so fulfilling that we wouldn't need any other relationships or anything else to really add to our own fulfillment. We wouldn't need to seek marriage and with other people. We'd be in such a perfect union with God, and then with the community, with the communion of saints as well. But there wouldn't be a need for these private, personal relationships, because of that relationship with God, which is kind of the overarching relationship, which will fill all of our desires, and we will be in perfect happiness. So that's why there's really no marriage in heaven. There's nobody who, you know, to use the line from Jerry Maguire, that you're looking to complete you, or anything like that. You're completely fulfilled in God, or being in the presence of God.
That's pretty interesting. Father Tormey used this reading in a homily that he gave at a school mass recently, and I thought, why are you using this reading with kids? But he used the reading to say, no one really knows what heaven is going to be like. And he had the kids imagine, you know, what would it be like to live 200 years ago and then have somebody talk about iPods. And the concept is just beyond our human capacity. But I think you did a great job, Ryan, in helping us to understand a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. It is something, too, that's the other thing we have to stress, is that it is beyond our capacity. Because, again, we're using human language to describe God, who is so much beyond. You know, our human language is limiting in its ability to describe God or to describe, you know, what heaven will be like. So I think that, you know, Father Tormey's analogy of, you know, asking people 200 years ago to, or trying to explain an iPod to people 200 years ago, or a podcast even, it wouldn't work, because there's so many things that they just wouldn't be able to understand or even grasp the concept of.
Well, I was just going to point out that in all of this, we have the Sadducees asking Jesus questions. Jesus never says, don't ask me any more questions. And I think that's important for us to remember, that it is okay to ask God questions and to search for answers, because it's only through those questions that we really grow.
Yeah, you're right. And the other thing, though, is, you know, while we ask these questions, we also have to be able to accept that we're probably not going to get, especially when you're asking things of, like, you know, what heaven is going to be like, you know, a full understanding. Over and over, it's the reason I think that Jesus uses these parables when talking about the kingdom of God is like, it's like this, it's like that, because he can't really describe what it is in a way that we would be able to understand it. So he uses all these analogies. You know, he says it's like a feast. You know, he says it's, you know, like, you know, a wedding. It's like, you know, all these different, you know, it's like, it's like, it's like analogies. But he never says the kingdom of God is, and then says, you know, this is what it is. You're going to be, you'll have a chair here, and someone will be there, and we'll all be sitting around, and there'll be cake and ice cream or anything like that. But so it is one of those things where I think that we have to be willing to ask the question. I think it's important that we ask these questions. And at the same time, I think, though, we can't have our faith be dependent on the fact that we get answers to these questions, or answers that we'll be able to understand, because ultimately so much of this is really beyond our ability to understand fully. We can know pieces of the truth, but we never really are able to grasp the entirety, at least while we're here on Earth. Don, I was wondering, what did you think of this first reading? Were you able to make anything of it with all this torture going on?
Well, it sort of made me want to close my eyes, but then I couldn't keep reading.
It does get difficult to read when you close your eyes.
It does. I guess it's almost having the hope in God that to be able to face situations like that. And although we don't always face that torture situation in our everyday lives, there is evil and there are bad things, floods and fires all around us, too, that we need to maintain hope. What did you come up with?
Well, I mean, I think it's that same thing. I think there's also, you know, an element of recognizing what God has said and the truth of the faith, even in the face of martyrdom. And it just kind of reminded me of many of the martyrs that we have within our own church, people who have gone to their deaths defending the faith rather than renouncing the faith. So I saw that and said that I think is a real important theme. It's an important theme in Christianity. I think it's something that, at least in American culture, we don't face it in the same way that, you know, maybe it was faced by some of the early church fathers, where literally they were being fed to lions or something to that effect if they didn't renounce the Christian faith. But at the same time, I think it can serve as a reminder to us that we're not supposed to back down from our faith beliefs. And I think that there's a lot of times when we can really face a challenge similar to this. It's not probably a life or death martyrdom for people, but there is a thing where it can be a social inconvenience sometime to be a Catholic or to be a Christian. And I can think of times maybe people at work are asked to make a decision that for their work that might not be the most ethical decision or something. Do you have the fortitude, the strength to say, no, I'm going to stick by, you know, what my beliefs are? Or do you kind of back down and say, okay, well, I'll acquiesce because I'm compartmentalizing. This is my job and it's not really me. And I think there's a real danger if we compartmentalize. And I think in other times, too, in our society, it's real easy for us to back down or not stand up for what is right. And I think that this can be read for Americans as this need to affirm what we believe in our daily lives and with actions, not just with meaningless platitudes or something like that.
Well, Brian, I think we're probably coming to the end of our podcast, but before we finish, I'm just going to ask everybody to pray for all the youth this week, tomorrow and on Thursday, all around the country. Catholic teenagers are gathering in Columbus, and we're taking a group of 30 from here at St. Mary's for the National Catholic Youth Conference, and it'll be a time of 25,000 teenagers. Don't you wish you were in that room? it's a huge opportunity for the kids to come to recognize who God is to them and how they are part of the bigger, wider church. So I'd ask that everybody be in prayer for all of us this weekend.
Okay. I've got finals this week, although by the time most people hear this, I'll probably be done, hopefully, with most of my papers that I have. I think I've got like over 50 pages of papers due this week.
Oh my gosh. I'd rather go to this conference.
That's right. That's right. So that's looking pretty good. But after that, I'm going to be out in Orlando visiting Mickey Mouse. So I will have some time to relax.
Great.
Anyway, we do hope that everybody has a wonderful week. Do please keep the youth and keep Dawn in your prayers as well. And we hope that you'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.